You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the QB carousel. It is spinning already, and Russ is rerouting. We'll open with one thing about his time in Denver. I promise will blow your mind. Meanwhile, misery at the midway. Wait till you hear where Shefty says the Bears and Justin Fields find themselves right this minute. And then the D in Big D stands for distraction. You'll hear a firsthand account of exactly how the Cowboys became the NFL's version of the circus. All that and more. It is a Thursday. Kmart is ready to roll. She's going to do some more impressions for us as the day goes on. Yesterday didn't go so well. D-Wood is disgruntled because of the Lakers. We'll show you why in a minute. We'll try and get him gruntled as the day goes on. Oh, Neek is here. Mike T is here. Austin Rivers will be with us. Let's go. We start with a quick basketball game from last night because D-Wood, your Lakers, they've been playing well. They ran into De'Aaron Fox yesterday. Here's LeBron. Let's start with something that you'll like. How about him putting Alex Len on a poster?
Oh, I always love that. You know, a good posterization always does the morning good.
31 points, 13 rebounds for LeBron. And the Lakers had a 7-point lead. But here come the Kings. Austin Reeves. No. Domantas Sabonis. We'll go on the other way. Malik Monk. Chase down? Don't think so. Kings a 15-point halftime lead and then more. Look at the nice ball movement here, D-Wood. Kings up 15. Monk and Sabonis.
Look at this. Look at this action right here. I mean, you can tell those guys have been playing together for quite some time.
Sabonis had a triple-double. He has had 44 straight double-doubles. Then here's De'Aaron Fox. He would score 44. And then to add injury to insult, LeBron would leave early with just under 4 minutes left, favoring the ankle. Kings win. LeBron, what?
Did you step on someone on a previous possession?
No, it was just my ankle. It was just what I've been trying to deal with before the break, after the break. Just manage as best way I can. You know, played the whole third, sat a little bit to start the fourth. And, you know, when I got back in, it kind of just, you know, whatever. It's just somebody's been dealing with.
All right, so he's got an ankle. We'll see exactly what that shakes out to be. But look at this little stretch that they're embarking on here. The Lakers have 18 games left. They're currently in the 10th spot in the West. Their next four games, as you see here, are all against good teams. So keep a close eye on where they roll. Next up, the NFL. We are 4 days and counting from the start of free agency. And, of course, one of the biggest names available is Russell Wilson. The Broncos have already given Russell permission to begin speaking with and meeting with other teams. So, for all intents and purposes, his free agency has already begun. Everyone in the world is offering an assessment of where he is right now, including our Ryan Clark yesterday.
When you look at last year and the way that he adjusted his game to fit what Sean Payton wanted, he did those things. And let's remember, Bailey Zappe finished as a starter.
Right.
Garner Mitchell finished as a starter.
Yeah.
Aiden O'Connell finished as a starter.
Right.
And so now we're going to look at Russell Wilson and say Russell Wilson can't be a starter, right? No, lies you tell.
Lies you tell.
There's nothing I love more than an exasperated Ryan Clark. And before we go in, I want everyone to hear, this is what I promised you in the open, something about Russell that I just hadn't heard anybody say until Mike Tannenbaum said it in our meeting this morning that I think will put a lot of other things into perspective, particularly from a Broncos side of things. Mike T, what is it you reminded us all?
Greeny, the Denver Bronco contract extension with Russell Wilson actually starts right now this year. When he was traded from Seattle to Denver in that blockbuster trade in 2022, there was no deal that was done with Russell Wilson. That was done in April. And then in late August, August 31st, they signed that massive extension that included $124 million in fully guaranteed money. So they could have obviously just acquired the player for multiple first round picks, Noah Fant, Drew Lock, et cetera, and just had it play out the last 2 years, they would have zero cap dollar hit Now they have an $85 million dead money hit because of that extension.
It's that's the point. The Russell Wilson extension actually start now.
Right.
So you want to talk about making your own bed at a moment in which the Broncos have expressed to Russell Wilson that their greatest and fondest wish is that he goes somewhere else. This is the moment the extra money actually kicks in on Russell Wilson. I hadn't heard it pointed out that way. But look, let's face it, everybody, right? When we're talking about Russell Wilson, we're not just talking about him as a player. RC can talk about, well, he can start and all that stuff. We know that with him, there was just so much more to it. And here's one voice yesterday that gives you an indication of why. Carl Mecklenburg was a really good player on the Broncos a long time ago, six-time Pro Bowler in the 60s and the 90s. And he weighed in on all of this on Twitter. I want you to see what he tweeted. He tweeted, Russell Wilson isn't a leader. The foolishness that went on in his first year at Denver with a private coach, his own office at the facility, family at training camp, when other players didn't have those privileges, proved his self-centeredness. There's a former Bronco. With a pretty strong opinion that has nothing to do with whether Russell Wilson is still good enough to be a starter or not. The question is that fair or is that over the top? D. Wood, what's the answer?
I think we just gotten too far off the track right now. It just seems like everyone's just piling on. Piling on for what? Like, we all know that stuff happened, you know, in year one. There was a lot of things that was wrong with the Denver Broncos in year one. Nathaniel Hackett was awful. You know, the team was awful. Yeah, all that stuff happened. But then this past year with Sean Payton, and we knew going into the thing, that marriage wasn't, that was oil and water between those two.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought Russell Wilson acquitted himself quite well.
Mm-hmm.
Because clearly, Sean Payton, the way he wants his quarterback to play and the way Russell Wilson's game is, they aren't compatible, but Russell Wilson found a way to play some pretty good football. I'm not saying Russell Wilson was top 10, but he played some pretty good football. And so when I hear comments like that on Twitter or all the stuff from other people, it's just gotten ridiculous in my opinion. People are just piling on there.
Fair game or too much?
Oh, no. That's wild. I think that is wild because I think it's the perfect example of what we heard RG3 say this week about it's in vogue to sort of criticize Russ the player and go in. But I do think it's fine to critique the on-the-field player, to dissect the trade, to discuss where he fits next, right? And be very honest about the skill set and where he could fit. That is fine. But Sean Payton didn't show leadership when he was berating Russell on the sideline or when he was asking him to take a pay cut when they still were in the midst of a playoff run. So I think personality aside, Russell, when I talk to offensive coaches, they say, yes, he can still play, but he's not the same guy. He may want want more freedom in the pocket to sort of freestyle. And if that's not what you want with an aging quarterback, you might think it's better for us to reset with a young kid. Like there's so many variables in place that actually warrant discussion more so than the guy had his own office.
I get it. But I feel like that is part of this story, Dominique, because Russell Wilson is not just being evaluated for how he plays. That is one discussion. It feels like that discussion is in one silo and this other one is in an entirely different silo. And I think this one, what Mecklenburg is voicing, and look, I think it's much too much, but he's entitled to his opinion and he's entitled to say it. I feel like that is actually guiding where this thing has gone much more than the play. What do you think of all this, Nate?
I mean, we don't live in a fair society. We don't play on teams where things are fair. When guys are great, they get better considerations. And Russ was great. And when you're not good, those considerations that you have acquired, those privileges you've acquired, get thrown in your face. Like, this is not a new equation for us. But the equation going forward for Russ is the next team. Does Russ expect, like, special privileges? And is his play going to warrant those special privileges? I think that's the equation that the teams who are acquiring Russ need to find out when they're interviewing him, is how does he expect to be treated? Does he anticipate being a guy who comes in, is named the starter, and be a long-term solution for a team? If that's what he thinks, then I would have some reservations about bringing him in. Does he consider himself someone who needs to come in and prove himself and maybe even be like a temporary stopgap quarterback to the next one? Then it'd be something I consider. But I think it's a question for the GMs and people like Mike Tannenbaum who'll be making this decision coming up. But it's not as simple as, is he good enough? enough to play, because I think we all think he's like one of the 32 best quarterbacks alive right now. Yeah, but there are other things that come along with Russell Wilson on your team. It's not just him on the field like some sort of video game.
Right. That's exactly the point. First off, Mike T, you can help us with this. Two different stops as a general manager in the National Football League. The idea of a star player, and generally speaking, a star quarterback, having different privileges than the other players do, is that unique to this situation with Russell?
Not at all. Carl Meckenberg's comments lack perspective and context. I thought they were totally unfair. Now, look, he's not Brett Favre, but when we had Brett Favre at the Jets, Brett Favre had his own locker. He showered someplace differently. Russell Wilson is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. They gave up, as we already talked about, a ton of money and draft choices. And you want him to be able to go into the facility and be able to study when he wants. And everybody in the media on a one-off basis, hey, can we just get one thing? Or sometimes it's actually a teammate. Can you just sign one more autograph? So when you're at that level, and again, I'm not saying he was Brett Favre, but he is a Super Bowl winning quarterback, face of the franchise. You want them to have an environment, Greeny, where they could study, they could be there and have some peace and quiet. So I think Mecklenburg was wrong. And I think moving forward, to me, here's what's fascinating. What does Russell Wilson want? Because I think in the next week, he's going to see that no one's going to give him any money in 2025, meaning he'll make as much money this year not to play as to play. And I'm fascinated to see what does Russell Wilson do? How much does he want to play?
Let's be clear, the most attractive thing about Russell Wilson right now is the fact that you can get him for cheap, right? It is the money. It's not necessarily the play. But when Mike is talking about Brett Favre, when the Jets signed Brett Favre, what was the expectation? We're trying to win Super Bowls with Brett Favre.
Right.
When you sign Russell Wilson right now, what is the expectation? We know what the Broncos were hoping for with their second choice, but I don't think you sign Russell Wilson thinking, yeah, we're winning a chip. Like, I think that's the difference.
No,
he can still play, but I think to Dominique's point earlier, when you are a fantastic player, you'll put up with more. But honestly, you just need Russell to sort of be a stopgap or a bridge to something else.
Obviously, what you're saying is obviously 100% right, and no one is putting him in that category anymore. The degree to which his standing has diminished is incredible over the course of 2 years. All I'm trying to say is at some point, it starts to feel like it's gone too far. Like, it starts to feel like this is just completely unfair. Yes. We treat Russell Wilson like he has done horrible things.
Yeah.
We treat people people who have been known to do far worse things than Russell Wilson would ever consider. We treat them with a great deal more respect than we treat Russell. And I can't believe I'm sitting here defending him, because I feel like I've been very critical of his play.
Yeah.
But the degree to which we're now questioning everything about him, D. Wood, quick final thought. Just to me, it feels like it's much too much.
Yeah, it just feels personal. When you hear these comments, like, you know, Carl Mecklenburg and, you know, a variety of other people who've chimed in on Russell Wilson, it feels personal.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, we need to judge Russell by his game. What is he doing out there on the field? And ultimately, I think Russell Wilson, and I'm going to just go back to this, Russell Wilson will have to make as much, like, how much does he love the game of football?
Yeah.
That, to me, is going to be the determining factor of how everything is going to play out moving forward with his career.
Yeah, as Mike T said, he doesn't need it anymore, so it's just really up to whether he wants it under these circumstances. And I who could be critical if he decides he's done enough? In the meantime, more quarterback stuff going on. Are the Bears divided over Justin Fields' future? Is it now suddenly possibly stays in Chicago? You've got to hear from Shefty. It's the very latest, and you will in a moment. Plus, where will Saquon wind up? Could he be the missing piece for one team in particular? We'll tell you which one as we get this thing cranked up. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
You're watching Get Up. We are brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone. And we continue. It's time for some NFL offseason questions. And here to answer them, whether he is ready or not, is Dominique Foxworth, and they're going to be hard-hitting. Here we go, Neek. Number one, is it a mistake for the Steelers to stick with Kenny Pickett as their quarterback?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've seen what Kenny Pickett can produce for them, and it's not embarrassing, but it's not very much. And he's coming up on turning 26 here real soon, so I think that optimism for him to develop into a different type of player is pretty low. So Kenny Pickett is good enough, I think, to play in this league, but I don't think he's good enough to take the Steelers to where they think that they belong. So they need to be looking for a solution, and maybe Kenny Pickett's the backup going forward.
Maybe Russell Wilson, who we just discussed, could be the answer there. I keep banging the drum for Justin Fields. I think that one would make all the sense in the world. Let me go to my next question. Should the New York Football Giants draft a quarterback this year to replace Daniel Jones?
I don't think so. I think it would be a reach. There are a couple of quarterbacks in here that we're pretty sure about. The rest of the quarterbacks, I think, are a bit of a project and need a lot of support and infrastructure around them. And you know what the Giants don't have? Support and infrastructure prepared to receive a quarterback. So I think they did not properly prepare for Daniel Jones, and we've seen how that's turned out with not great protection and not great weapons. I think it's time, as we've seen time and time again in this league, the best quarterbacks in this league are the ones that come in to good situations, and that situation right now is not a great one for a quarterback to enter.
I'm with you, and it's about to get much, much worse because their best player is leaving, and that is Saquon Barkley, or at least he is now free to leave, and I think the expectation is he will leave. Give me a team. Dominique, what's the best fit for Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, I think Saquon needs to go to the Houston Texans. I know there's been rumors about that. That'd be a perfect situation because, as you know, when you have a quarterback on a rookie deal, you are in your Super Bowl window, and it's time to pile up and pay high for the free agents out there and possibly even overpay for some free agents in order to get them in the building to improve your chances. This is a team and the Houston Texans that, with C.J. Stroud, are firmly in their Super Bowl window in a division that's very winnable. They need to load up on talent to help him achieve that goal.
All right, you're not the first person I've heard say that, but here's my opinion. You got the right state, but you got the wrong team. And RG3 is on my side. He was here earlier this week. He said he believes Saquon is the missing piece in Dallas.
When you specifically talk about Saquon Barkley, he's a three-down back that isn't just flash. Right, he brings to the table what Jerry Jones wants, because over the last three eliminations for the Cowboys, they've been outrushed by 149 yards. So with Saquon Barkley, I think of all the backs that are going to be free agents, he gives the Cowboys the best opportunity to go and win a Super Bowl. They get closer with Saquon than they do with any other running back.
The man makes sense. Kmart, I tried so hard yesterday to convince you. Now you've had 22 hours since we finished yesterday's show to come around to my way of thinking. Saquon to the Cowboys, what do you say?
No, I was on your bandwagon. I like it. I like it, especially for our ratings. Especially because last year I felt like they actually should have kept Ezekiel Elliott. I feel like the Cowboys should have reached out to the Tennessee Titans about Derrick Henry at the trade deadline, and they didn't. I feel like Saquon would be the missing piece, but Greeny, I am with Dominique now as far as the Texans for Saquon. I just think when you look at the Houston Texans, and you look at that quarterback, to me, it is all about C.J. Stroud. Why did Dalton Schultz say, oh, yeah, I'm not waiting for a free agency? You sign me now. Sign me now, because that quarterback can do a lot of things. I do think the Cowboys need another running back, and it would be great if it was Saquon, but I'm good with the Texans.
Let me make my case to you, Dan.
Okay, lead to the Bishop.
I did this on radio yesterday. Hembo was throwing all these names at me of running backs who had better numbers than Saquon Barkley, and in every single case over the last 2 years, I said, who was their quarterback? Saquon Barkley has been doing more with less than anybody in the league. Saquon Barkley, if you gave him, I'm just making this up, Josh Allen, do you think he wouldn't have put up the numbers James Cook did last year? If you put him in an offense that they won in San Francisco, you're telling me he couldn't have a McCaffrey-esque impact on it? Oh, yes, he could, and that's exactly what the Cowboys need. I believe that Saquon is the difference maker, is a difference maker on a greater level than he's being given credit for.
Dominique can't stand it.
Why can't he stand it? What lies am I telling? Well, in the words of the great Ryan Clark.
Because I think it was when you said Christian McCaffrey, because Saquon does have the ability to do that, but Dallas isn't the place with the offensive minds that is going to bring out that part of his game. That's why I like Houston. I like Houston because I think that they do have a young, creative offensive mind in Bobby Slowick that is going to put Saquon in those positions and is going to use those schemes to help create advantages. That's not what they do in Dallas. They want a running back that's more akin to, I guess, Derrick Henry, where, all right, we need 8 yards, we need 5, 6, 7 yards, hand him the ball, he's gonna get us that, break some big plays every now and then. I don't know that you get the most out of Saquon in a situation like Dallas.
Okay, I have a stat that will actually help you.
Go.
Saquon to the Cowboys.
Please.
Okay, we talk about Saquon's numbers. They are deceiving. Do you know where the Giants ranked in run block win rate? Second to last in the NFL.
Yes.
So when you talk about Saquon's numbers, it is easy to say, not as impressive. But the infrastructure around him, not the greatest, and he's still doing a lot.
Saquon Barkley got Daniel Jones $80 million guaranteed dollars. How much better can you be than that? D-Wood, you're on my side, yay or nay?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've constantly thrown out both Texas teams because I think both Texas teams, this team does make sense. But ultimately, here's what I want to say to you, Green.
Yeah.
Number one, the Dallas Cowboys, their offensive line, that's where they need to improve.
Yeah.
Okay, because when the Dallas Cowboys, like, for years, they were known, their offensive line were dominating people. That's not the case anymore.
Right.
They've got
more.
Older.
Right.
They haven't been able to run the ball like they've done in the past. So I don't know if Saquon necessarily improves upon that, because they need to fix the problems up front.
Mike T, final thoughts, go.
Yeah, I disagree with D-Wood. I like Saquon to death. Saquon, for this reason, he's bigger and stronger than Tony Pollard. I think he's a blend of Zeke Elliott and Pollard. And here's the other thing. Here's the other axiom, guys. You got to pass to score and run to win. We know they could score early. He's a finisher that they didn't have last year, and it cost. And it cost.
Finisher. I'm not saying he's the only thing they need. I'm saying he's something they could desperately use. And Dominique, in his disagreement, is actually somewhere down deep inside in agreement with me. As we continue, misery at the midway. Wait till you hear what Shefty says. The Bears and Justin Fields have found themselves right now. Don't miss that coming up next. Plus, the D in Big D is for distraction. You will hear a former cowboy talking about exactly what it's like inside the circus. Might surprise you. It's coming up.
Get up.
delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back on Get Up. Bottom of the hour, here we go. Our wood-based pun today is titled, Would You Rather? D-Wood, would you rather the Patriots draft a quarterback or trade back and build?
Trade back and build, man. Like, listen, I don't think the Patriots have the right infrastructure, man, to support a quarterback, especially they're picking at number 3. I just think it would be a disaster. This team is just devoid of talent, one of the worst rosters in the National Football League. Trade back, man, and start replenishing this roster with some real dogs out there.
I'm starting to come around to that way of thinking. We'll see what they decide to do. Meanwhile, D. Wood, would you rather the Chiefs re-sign Chris Jones or go out and get a big-time wide receiver?
Oh, this is easy for me. Re-sign Chris Jones. Did we not see the impact that Chris Jones had on this Kansas City Chiefs defense, particularly in the postseason? He was everywhere. He was a menace everywhere. And so for me, like the way this team is constructed, give me that guy. We know Patrick Mahomes can win a Super Bowl without a legit number one wide receiver, but give me that guy on defense.
He's their second most important player, right?
Yes.
I mean, Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the world, and yes, then Chris Jones is their next most important player. One more, D. Wood. Would you rather have Kirk Cousins as your quarterback or Justin Fields as your quarterback?
Oh, give me Kirk Cousins. Huh. Listen, before Kirk Cousins had the Achilles injury, Kirk Cousins was on a pace for around 5,000 yards and 39 touchdowns. Like, he was having a career year in Minnesota last year. So I know what I'm getting in Kirk Cousins. People can say all they want, but the man can play some ball. And I know he's coming off the Achilles, but give me Kirk Cousins in this situation.
Well, I think it's interesting the way you chose to phrase that. You know what you're getting in Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
Because the flip side of it is, I don't feel like anyone really knows exactly what they're getting in Justin Fields. And that might be one of the reasons that this thing is taking so long. On NFL Live yesterday, Shefty laid out the Fields trade market right now and how a deal may have to happen sooner than later. Listen.
The issue is there's so many moving parts at the quarterback position, and they're going to have to find somebody who specifically wants Justin Fields to fit that team's offense and is willing to surrender the draft pick compensation that it will take to get him. So there are some variables here that Chicago is working through, which I think has delayed the process a little bit. I think there are people within that organization that would like to see him stay there too, which is just one more little wrench to throw in there. A lot going on with Justin Fields. It should be sorted out here in the next week.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, what? There are people now who want him to, like, they haven't even 100% made up their minds they're going to trade him? Is that what I'm led to believe here?
Who makes a decision? Because every draft year, within an organization, you have a GM, potentially a head coach, you've got coach, other coaches. Not everybody agrees with the pick for the quarterback. Think about the Trey Lance, Mac Jones, Justin Fields year that we had. There were people in the 49ers building that thought they should have drafted Justin Fields. Some people thought Mac Jones. It is not, you got a GM who decides and a head coach who decides who you take. So it doesn't surprise me that people inside the building would think, we've seen this guy. We know that he has handled everything, changing offensive coaches, head coaches, changing, you know, the roster, having nothing. He's comported himself. Justin Fields has handled himself like a true pro here. But I'm not at all surprised by Schefter saying that this is taking longer than the Bears would like, because even though Ryan Poles would love to get this done by free agency, other teams know that they're desperate to move on from him. So why are you going to give them top compensation? You're going to look around and see Kirk Cousins. What's his asking price? Baker Mayfield. Everything else.
Yeah, the other side of it, though, and Mike T, you and I talked about this morning, and I'd like you to illuminate, pardon me, the people who are with us this morning. There's also an element of this that suggests that there's no team in the league that views Justin Fields as a surefire, oh my God, I can't believe I can get him for this price guy. I definitely thought someone would feel that way. Yeah. Mike T, I think you thought that as well. But this suggests that none of the other 31 teams in the league say, oh my goodness, for a third round pick, I can get Justin Fields in 2 years at this. I cannot believe teams are not chomping at the bit to make that deal.
Yeah, Greeny, I'm totally with you. The 31 teams have spoken, however. So you and I were in the camp, young, talented player, needs a change of scenery, wasn't really supported the right way, and he could go on and have a really good career. Maybe he's not top 10, but certainly one of the 15 best quarterbacks on the planet. However, based on Adam's report and the lack of the trade, 31 teams have said, no. We like him, but not at the price that Chicago wants, and maybe he's more like Baker Mayfield, who, if we remember, guys, he had to go compete with Kyle Trask of all quarterbacks to actually earn the job. So every day this trade doesn't happen, especially when we get to next week, guys, their value, their leverage goes down. And the other variable is this. Justin Fields is beloved, rightfully so. He has said everything right since he's been a Chicago Bear. He's anxious. He wants to get to his next spot as quickly as possible. That locker room is looking at their head coach and their GM like, hey, are you going to treat him fairly? Because he's done everything right as well. Mm-hmm. So that's another variable in play here.
Bottom line of it, Neek, I mean, I don't want to keep picking on this one player. But, I mean, if 32 teams had the choice between Kenny Pickett and Justin Fields right now, and the circumstances of their contracts aren't that different. Pickett is 1 year behind Fields, if you will, in that five-year cycle that the first round picks get. Are there teams out there that would choose Pickett over Fields? Like, I just don't understand what the Steelers aren't seeing that the rest of us are. How do you see this thing, Neil?
Yeah, I think the Steelers certainly would choose Fields over Pickett, but there are a lot of other quarterbacks out there that haven't made their decisions, like Kirk Cousins, that I think most teams would take over Justin Fields. The biggest problem with me when evaluating Justin Fields is that I know he's been in a tough situation. But one of the things that you need to address is his desire to hold on to the ball for a long time. And you would have thought that being behind a not good offensive line for an extended period of time, he would have developed and fixed that particular habit. But that's the one that's hard to get over. And I think that it's kind of a microcosm for what you're getting when you get him, is he's a boom or bust player. Sometimes he holds on to the ball long enough to make something incredible happen. And then sometimes he holds on to it long enough to get sacked or throw an interception. And I think that's what's scaring teams off, is if you want to get kind of a prospect that has a high upside, but also kind of has a low floor, you want to get him on a rookie deal in the draft. You don't want to get him a couple years away from a big time extension. So I would be trepidatious on Justin Fields too, until all these other quarterbacks have found their landing spot. If he's the last man standing, then I'd give up a third or a second to bring Justin Fields in, but not until Kirk Cousins and Baker Mayfield and some of these other guys have found a landing spot.
Mike T, very quick, final word, go.
But Greeny, yeah, to Neek's point, some team I thought would have said, like, because of all those things, he's an unexpected opportunity. He's great value because his upside's so good, and we already have some, like, couple years of real good film of him. It's inconsistent, and I just thought somebody would jump in here and said, hey, we could make this good, much more consistent, and he'll be our starter.
The price is, generally speaking, pretty
low. Well,
maybe
their ego isn't, yeah.
Yeah, you know, let's leave it there. Let's come back to this one. This is definitely one we'll spend some more time on, but Austin is here. Let me get back to some of the really good NBA action from last night, and we'll come back to it. So, Austin Rivers, we talked yesterday about how much we both believe in the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis and company taking a six-game win streak in to take on Golden State. Steph Curry and company coming off that disaster that we saw over the weekend. But last night, it was Steph knocking them down the fairway, quite literally. Look at Golden State, Austin, out in transition.
Yeah, they were moving the ball. It looked like last night they had a lot more pop, a lot more energy, especially coming off of that horrendous loss versus Boston.
Warriors 20-point halftime lead again over the red-hot Bucks. And then look how Giannis stuffed not once but twice.
Man, listen, Jackson had a huge game, not only on defense but on offense. He ran the floor, was great in the pick and roll. I like him with this team.
Yeah, that was Trace Jackson-Davis. There he is. You're going to see with the finish there. That was all one sequence. He blocked Giannis twice and then finished on the other end with the alley-oop. Now here's the on Green. When that's going, you know you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Warriors up 25. And now here's Steph to sort of put his little ribbon on it all. Steph had 29 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. Warriors cruise to a big win. There goes the Milwaukee win streak. Here's the situation in the West, okay? You see just how jammed up everybody is. I mean, the distance from 5 to 10 is basically one good week.
Yeah.
So we'll see where this thing all shakes out. So I mean, will the real Golden State Warriors please stand up? They're down 50 on Saturday night, and here they are blowing at Milwaukee. What is Steph's team right now?
It's hard to judge. You know, on one end, we have a game like last night where they're going against the red-hot Bucks. They have a great game. It's not like Steph had a dominant performance, mm-hmm. but it just seemed like from a team aspect, they were all around pretty solid. And then on the other end, we have a game where they lose by 50 to the Celtics. So I think right now what we need to look for is consistency in this team to where they're getting consistent play from players other than Steph. It seemed like last night they played with good energy. Multiple guys stepped up, had games. That's what you want to see from them.
Are you a believer? I mean, they have championship pedigree.
I'm more of a believer than the Lakers at this point.
Really?
I think, yeah, I do, especially with the ankle injury with LeBron.
Yeah.
You know, they had a bad loss last night to the Kings. You know, for me, I feel right now the Warriors are tapping into a groove. They could be a dangerous team.
Well, that's interesting. We opened the show actually this morning by showing you that highlight of the Lakers getting blown out by Sacramento and LeBron limping off the court with that ankle. With about 4 minutes to go, he talked afterwards like he did think the injury was a terrible deal. But let's get into that. So LeBron's team, which made a run from the play-in all the way to the final last year, the Western Conference final, you trust Steph's team more than you trust LeBron's team.
The only reason I say that is just because this team was in a similar spot last year. Mm-hmm. So to ask them to do the exact same thing again is a lot, especially on a, you know, what is this, year 21 for LeBron. Mm-hmm. To ask him to do this again and put this team on his shoulders just seems a little bit too much for me. Whereas the Warriors, it seems like this whole year they've been kind of lacking, but now they're starting to tap in. Steph has a guy named Jonathan Kuminga, a young player who he knows he can rely on, who's shown that he has the capability to be a big time second option. So, you know, neither of these teams I have contending in the West, but, you know, if I have to pick a team who I think can get out of the play-in, make the playoffs, make a little run, I'd have to go with the Warriors.
We could live in a world, I don't expect it, because I think the Suns are going to get hot. But we could live in a world where LeBron, Steph, and KD are all in the play-in.
If that doesn't tell you that the NBA is changing in a new direction, I don't know what else does.
Young stars. And of those three, the one we believe in the most, their team this year is?
Anthony Edwards. I like Minnesota.
Oh, okay. So we're going away from all of the superstars, or the older guys I'm talking about.
No,
okay.
I like many. I know that's a little, people aren't talking about them as much, but that team is serious. With their size and their size abilities, I think Minnesota can cause problems for Denver.
He is the real thing. He is the real. Stay close by,
my God.
Austin. We'll have much more hoops as we continue. In the meantime, back to the football in a moment. The D in Big D stands for distraction. You're going to hear a firsthand account of exactly how the Cowboys became the NFL's version of the circus. That's next. Plus, Aaron Rodgers, talking the talk. Can he still walk the walk, literally or figuratively? We'll get into that as well. Mike, timing is lacking. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
We are back on Get Up, and no matter how many times we try to get out, they keep pulling us in, the Cowboys and the Jerry Jones and the headlines. So yesterday, here's Dalton Schultz. Spent 5 years in Dallas, really good player there, now with the Texans. He goes on with McAfee, and he's talking about the unique atmosphere in the Cowboys practice facility and on game days. Listen to this.
It's a zoo, dude. There's people tapping on the glass, like trying to get people's attention as they're doing, you know, power cleans or whatnot. And it's just, it's different. And I mean, that's the brand that they've built. That's, you know, that's what Jerry Jones likes. That's the way that they run things. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, you know, you don't realize like how many, you know, eyeballs and how much that can maybe, you know, distract from, you know, some stuff just in the locker room, being in the facility, until you go somewhere else and you're like, holy crap, like, dude, there's none of that.
Fascinating stuff. Why are you looking at me? Look at D. Wood's face. Can we get a nice tight shot of Mr. Woody's? Why are you looking at me like that?
That does nothing for me, Brandon. Absolutely nothing. Like, what does that have to, what does people knocking on the glass when you're walking out, what does that have to do with them getting, you know, getting their butts kicked against Green Bay in the postseason? It has nothing to do with it. Like, can we just stop it, please? Can we just stop it? Can we just, wait, let me speak to this camera. Hey, Jack, listen, in the postseason, please just ball out. Okay, like Micah, do the same thing. CD, I need all you guys to do that so we don't have to revert to like talking about these type of comments from Dalton Schultz about, oh, people knocking on the glass while we're working out and the culture and all that. Can y'all please do something in postseason?
But that is exactly why it is something. It's the fact that Damian B has to plead into the camera for the Cowboys players to actually do what they're doing during the regular season in the postseason, that is part of it. Everybody is talking about what goes wrong in Dallas. When Schultz talks about it's not that at other places. There are things maybe internally that may lead to a distraction. Uh-oh, not the gun.
D-Wood looks upset. I got him. Go ahead. Keep going.
I mean, that's part. I'm not saying what Dalton Schultz is saying is like the end all be all of what's wrong with them, but we are all looking for what goes wrong. Do they have a talent problem? Do they have a dog problem? Do they have an acceptance problem, which except being really good in the regular season and the light shine brightest, they fall off. We've been talking about this for months, Damian. Something is there.
Got to even this up.
You know what, first lady?
What, Bishop?
You know what?
Tell me what.
I am
what
so Bishop? Disappointed in you.
You disappointed
in
me.
I am so disappointed in you. You are really trying to make this into something.
I'm not the
Nobody Jerry is making it into
now we're going to blow it up into the whole culture.
We are not. Do not break up the congregation and get up right now.
I was kind of feeling that. Why'd you stop?
All right, sorry. Dominique, jump in here if you will, please. I'm going to sitting two.
Yes, so Dominique. In Dalton Schultz's defense, he never said that was the reason why. He would just explain that it is different in Dallas mm-hmm. than it is everywhere else. And we all understand that. We work in this industry, so we know how different it is in Dallas, and it's a creation of Jerry Jones. I personally don't believe in the concept of, like, distraction. Everyone deals with a bunch of different issues through the course of a season. Some nonsense happening in your arena is not a distraction. I don't think that's the culture there is the problem. I don't think that Dalton Schultz was saying that. He's just saying it's difficult or it's different in Dallas than anywhere else, which is absolutely true. And some people could like that. And I think they thrived in there, especially in the 90s. They thrived in that
situation.
What
about now? What decade are we in now?
Some people may not, which I think is fair. I think that some people may not be comfortable in there, but I don't think that's the reason why they're losing, and I don't think anyone's presenting that as the idea that that's the reason why they've lost in the playoffs in the last few seasons.
Well, except that I could see, and is that the reason specifically they lost that one game against Green Bay? It would be very difficult to make that case. What I would say is, when your stardom is inflated artificially, which it is when you join that team, the locker room, and all those things, it have some greater impact. It is hard for me to quantify exactly what that is. But I can see, having just covered teams over the years, and Kimberly, you've done it a million times, and everyone else here, you've worked inside their buildings. I mean, most teams do not have fans at practice, you know, walking through and tapping on the glass and watching them and that sort of thing. And that might give you a slightly different mentality than everybody else does. Meek, what?
Yeah, I say, and the pressure is higher. So I do think that if the Jags do lose a couple games, there's a little this season, we're not talking about it on Get Up. Talking Cowboys lose a couple of games, we're leading with it. And then that becomes a conversation, that becomes the locker room, and it does create a different level of pressure. So I could that level of pressure, that level, something not accustomed to, could make you press, and it could make you, could maybe your teammates, and it could become a bigger issue. So yeah, there are some dynamics in Dallas that make Dallas different.
Are we watching clips of Aaron Jones completely thrashly? Let me talk about the people in the glass.
Like the quote is, it's a zoo. That's the brand they've built. That brand, Jerry likes it. Like, it's all, we talked about how the Cowboys continuously disappoint. Damien, something's behind that, right?
No. Are we losing Damien? What, big fella? Yeah.
Just talk about this stuff. You got my back hurting right now. So I had to stand up a little bit.
Okay.
What are we doing here? Because people knocking on the glass?
Yeah.
Because
you're oversimplified it for the purpose of arguing.
We've been talking about Cowboys culture. Don't act like this is a new conversation. When parents and brothers and sisters beating about Dak, we were talking about the culture. So don't act brand new.
Don't even start with this whole Cowboys culture stuff.
It's been a topic of conversation.
How many straight seasons the Cowboys? What, 12 wins?
Three straight. Yes.
Oh, okay, so the Cowboys coach is like doom and gloom. Like I've always said, like the main problem with the Cowboys, their big time stars just need to play like big time stars in the big time moments.
Which is kind of a problem. Don't tell me about winning culture when you fizzle out in the playoffs. That's been the problem.
Well, I mean,
you're making me look very small, by the way. Small. Just for the record, I'm feeling extremely uncomfortable with how small I look on TV right now. Mike, jump in here. You're hearing two sides of one interesting debate. Where are you?
The culture definitely manifests itself as a massive distraction, and here's why. We're talking about Kansas City, Cincinnati, all the teams they're competing for a title. Their discourse around contracts and money never goes public. So when we see things like Micah Parsons weigh in, now other relatives of CeeDee Lamb talking about what Dak should make, that's where the culture manifests itself. To your point, Greeny, where everyone has this higher inflated image of themselves, you never hear, hey, what should, you know, Brandon Ayuk make or Christian McCaffrey make? Like, and believe me, there are strong feelings amongst agents and relatives, but the culture manifests itself in the offseason and these massive distractions on social media. If they had authentic leadership, that wouldn't happen.
Okay, we didn't even get to the Aaron Rodgers stuff, which I am planning here. Help yourself, big fella. He'll make you feel better.
Disgruntled indeed.
In the meantime, indeed. ESPN Hockey Night tonight features the Blues and Devils, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Action. The Point, setting everything up at 5 on ESPN2. Coming up top of the hour, is this Russell's last chance? A former Broncos star has offered a scathing criticism of the star quarterback. What star really mean? Really? To that question. To that next. So the thing that every good team, sports knows, and that sports, the only way to execute a perfect play is to make sure that everyone is in sync. How does that same rule apply, Johnny, in the workplace?
Absolutely, Greeny. As a trusted authority on all things work, Sherm knows the team works when they choose availability.
Yeah, look, that makes, you can disagree for other teams, but just keep the plays.
exact. And that's why Sherm has an effort to 1 million civil stations. You want Gore Greeny?
Help.
We're ready in Christ.
But what if we disagree?
Disagreements.
Discussions.
Into
opportunity. What if we acted more civil?
You see, even the most business. And sure, we know business is work when we choose. Join me, joining one civil conversation. Civility, we can all understand.